Would you look at that 23rd verse with me? 14 and 23. Jesus answered and said unto him. Now this is an answer to the question asked by Jude. Not Judas Iscariot, but Jude, who was a kinsman of our Lord in the flesh. And Jesus answered, and this is the answer to the question. The question was, in verse 22, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? That is, how is it that you'll show yourself unto us or make yourself known unto us? How is that? And not unto the world. How are you going to do that? That's a question in our minds here. We don't understand how you're going to make yourself known to us, but the world won't see it. How is that? Of course, we first got to understand that Jude, along with the rest of the disciples and most who were followers of our Lord that day, believed somewhat in a visible setting up of the kingdom. They believed that our Lord was going to usher in the kingdom. The kingdom would be set up and all the Jews would take care of everything. The 12 apostles would have places of prominence in the ruling of the kingdom, and everything else would be subservient to them. And they thought it was a physical thing. Of course, they misunderstood what the kingdom was. And so that was one reason for the question. How is it that you'll show yourself unto us and the rest of the world? They'll not understand what's going on. Well, Jesus answered him. Jesus answered Jude now and said unto him, this is the answer to the question now. This is how I'm going to do it. This is the marks that will make my people known in this world. Jesus said unto him, if, that's a big word. That's a big word in this verse. That's the biggest word in this chapter, I guess, apart from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man love me. If a man love me, he will. And got an alternative. He will keep my words. And this is what will take place. My Father will love him. And we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will come unto that individual. The individual that loves me and keeps my word, my Father will come to him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will come unto him. And we'll make our abode with him. We'll live with him. His presence will be known by him. Or our presence will be known by him, will be felt by him. Though maybe others might not, he may not be able to prove it to others. Only God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the individual in whom they take up their abode will be sure about this thing. All right. Our Lord explains here, answer to the question, that it would be made known who his people were by certain marks. They would be those that love him and keep his word. Now the text here begins with that word if. That's what I want you to consider for just a minute. If a man loves me. Now this if stands at the beginning of this verse or at the beginning of this text like the guard with a rifle stands at the gate of some very important building. Like a guard that stands at the gate of the entrance into the White House. This if stands as a sentinel, as a guard. For this reason, to prevent anybody from entering in who ought not to enter in. That's what the if is there for. It prevents anybody from entering in who ought not to enter in. If a man love me. Now, if I cannot answer in the affirmative the question asked of our Lord, lovest thou me? Then I have nothing to do with the rest of this verse. If I can't say, yes, I love thee, if a man love me, if I'm not able to say honestly, genuinely, sincerely, in the presence of God Himself, yes, Lord, in spite of my failings, in spite of my faults, in spite of everything that I am, Lord, yes, in my heart, You reign supremely, and I love Thee. If I can't say yes, I can't enter into the rest of the verse. The rest of the verse, you see, says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And if he loves me and keeps my words, then my Father will love him. And then we will come to him, and we'll make our abode with him. So that if stands there as a guard. In other words, you and I really don't have anything to do with any of the privileges or promises revealed in the Bible as long as we are without love for Him. Nothing in the Bible for us. Not a single solitary privilege in the Bible belongs to us, or can we rest in, if we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. The if then stands here at the entrance of the text like a man with a drawn sword to keep you from going in where you don't belong, where you have no right to enter. The only man that has any right to enter into the rest of the verse is the man that can say, yes, Lord, I do. I really, honest to God, Lord, You know my heart. I love You. Well, that's what I want to talk about. Are we really lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we really love Him? Now, don't put this question aside and put me off in this matter, but answer it honestly in His sight. I pass this around to every person in this congregation this morning. Every person, from the youngest to the eldest, from the least by way of age, as far as understanding goes, to the oldest in this congregation. This question is asked you, and you'd answer it honestly, absolutely, in light of God Almighty, in the light of the fear of God, we're to answer this question, yes or no? Do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you know and I know that there are some who only pretend to love Him. I hope I'm not one of them. I hope I'm not a fellow that pretends to love the Lord Jesus Christ and really don't love Him. I don't want to miss eternal life. I don't want to miss Christ. I don't want to. If I know anything of my aspirations and desires, I don't want to miss Him. Now, there's many, I know this is a fact. The Bible says there's many that will miss Him. There's many that only pretend to love Him. There's many that will come in that last day and say, Lord, we have done this in Thy name. We've preached in your name. I don't want to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and become a castaway. I don't want to preach in His name and exalt the name of God and teach and instruct from the Bible other people and yet miss out myself. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to be able this morning under God to answer this question, because I know that my eternal destiny hangs upon the proper answer to this question. And there's no need for me to try to fool God. See? No need for me to do that. Why would I want to fool God? Try to fool God. I can't fool God. I can understand trying to fool you, Jack. I can understand that. My pride. I wouldn't want you to know. I wouldn't want you to know that I'm just a sham. A sham, a veneer, a hypocrite. I wouldn't want you to know that. But brother, I can't hide it from God. I can hide it from you, but I can't hide it from God. So I'm viewing this. I'm going to answer this question. I'm going to consider it and I'm going to answer it, just like I want you to here this morning. I want you to answer it in your heart before. Don't tell me. Don't write it on the paper. Just answer it before God. If a man love me. If a man love me, it's essential to true Christianity that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's essential. I know that there's some who only pretend to love Him. They make a loud profession. But by their language, you can tell that their profession or their life is hypocritical. Their conduct is not consistent with what they say. So we know that those individuals only pretend to love the Lord Jesus. Do you love Him with all your heart? Well, I'll tell you this, He's well worthy of my love and He's well worthy of your love. I can tell you that. Or am I or you a disciple only by a profession? Do we just made a profession, say, raised our hand or came forward or sought the preacher or the deacons or the elders out and said, I want to join this church. I've made a profession. I've made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And are we just disciples by profession only? Just give a cold-hearted assent to the teachings of the Lord Jesus. That is, our heads are convinced and our lives are not altogether inconsistent with our profession. Follow me now. Our lives are not altogether inconsistent with that which we profess to believe. But our heart's dead. Our heart's dead. And if we are alive, we're kind of like the church at Laodicea. We're not hot and we're not cold. We're in a lukewarm state. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, I hate that state. I hate that state of being just lukewarm. I want you to either be hot, or I want you to be cold. I want you to be on one side, or I want you to be on the other. I hate this state of lukewarmness. That's the state which our Lord abhors and despises and hates. I don't want to be in that state. I don't want to be just lukewarm. I want to either be hot, fervent, radiant, white heat, or cold as an iceberg. Don't want to be that in-between business. Oh, listen to me. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, must be the best loved of all. He must be. Or else we lack that which is essential to true Christianity. The Lord Jesus Christ must occupy the throne of our hearts. He must be seated upon the throne. He must be there. Or we lack the essential. We lack that which is vital unto true Christianity. And all we've got is forms and rituals and religion, which will not help us when we die. A true Christian now, I hope I'm one of them. A true Christian is one whose religion is in his heart and in his life. It's felt by himself in his heart, and it's seen by others in his conduct and in his life. A true Christian is one who feels his sinfulness and his guilt, and he repents of it. He sees that the Lord Jesus Christ is that only divine Savior that his soul needs, and he commits himself to that person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask the true Christian what he trusts for the forgiveness of his sins, and he'll tell you immediately, Jesus Christ the Lord. I trust in Him and Him alone for the forgiveness of my sins. Ask Him in what righteousness He hopes to stand in at that judgment day. And He'll immediately tell you, Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Ask Him what pattern that He tries to frame His life in or after, immediately he'll say, Jesus Christ is my pattern. Oh, listen to me now. This is what's important. Besides all of this, besides that which I've said thus far, there is one thing in a true Christian which is eminently peculiar to him. And that thing which is peculiar to him is this: that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves Jesus Christ. Now listen, knowledge, faith, hope, repentance, obedience, reverence, all these are certainly marked features of the Christian. But if love to Christ was omitted, the picture would not be complete. It's love to the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man love me, that's what our Lord said in answer to this fellow's question. If a man love me, the first and great commandment is what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love to the Lord. I mean love to the Lord Jesus. I'm not just talking about repeating the word or raising your hands and I love the Lord, praise the Lord, I love the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about true love in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you how you're going to know it here in just a minute. But I want to impress upon you this morning, if I can, what the Bible says about this. Not what I say. It doesn't make any difference what I say. Don't make any difference. I can't save myself, much less save you. It's only the only rule of faith and practice is the Word of God. That's all. Don't make any difference what this denomination says, this church says, this preacher says, or this elder says. Doesn't make any difference. It's this. That's what I want to impress upon you this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, it says this. Listen to me now. If a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema and maranatha. Which means, if a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. There's 3 or 4 billion people in the world. If 3 billion out of the 4 billion do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let the 3 billion, God says, through the Apostle Paul, let the 3 billion be accursed. Let them be damned. Why? Because they love not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's essential that we love the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved Son. I love Him, God said. He's mine. All mine, and I love Him. He pleases me. We better love Him. If not, we're going to miss out. Sad thing, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul here, allows no way of escape. No way of escape to the man who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't leave any loophole or any excuse here. A man may lack clear head knowledge and yet be saved. He may fail in courage and be overcome by the fear of man like Peter was and yet be saved. Get me now. He may not have clear knowledge in his head, but he might be saved. He may be overcome by the fear of man. He may lack bravery and courage and yet be saved. Peter was. But I'll tell you this. He cannot lack love for the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. A man may be overcome by terrible, terrible temptation and fall like David did. We think outwardly, physically, that the greatest violation and sin that a man can commit is to be unfaithful to his wife. And I guess that's so. I guess that's so. I don't know. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible sin. I know that. To sin against God by sinning against your wife. David premeditated, planned this terrible sin against God and against Uriah and against Bathsheba and against the kingdom, against his family, against his friends. He planned it. A man might be overcome with such a great temptation and yet be saved. David was. Nathan come to him, spake that little parable to him. You know what old David said? David finally said, well, that's me. That's me. Oh, that's me. Finally dawned on him. You know what Nathan said to him? Nathan said, God hath already put thy sin away. But he said, you're going to reap what you sow, but God's put your sin away. But if a man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, you might be like Peter. Peter went out into the night. Ah, that little Jewish maiden said, I can tell by the way you pronounce your words. You're from a certain locality here, and you're a follower, a disciple of Him, the Lord. Oh no, Peter said, a case of mistaken identity. Not me, not me. Finally, she come around again, put her finger in his face and said, you're one of them. And Peter looked into the face of the blessed Savior and he looked there and he cursed and vowed vehemently, I never knew him. And yet be saved. But I'm telling you this, you'll never be saved if you don't love Him. I'm telling you, under God, this morning, the best that I know how, you'll never be saved. You might love the doctrines. You might love the church. You might love this. You might love that. But you'll never be saved if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And that's a fact. The Apostle Paul again says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24, listen to this verse. Paul said, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace be unto them. Unto who? Unto those that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Paul here is sending good wishes and goodwill to all true Christians at the church at Ephesus. Many of these Christians he had never seen. Many of them probably were weak in the faith. Many of them were weak in knowledge. Many of them were weak in self-denial. How will Paul describe them in sending his message to them? He doesn't want to just shoot them setting. He doesn't want to kill them right off. He doesn't want to offend weaker brethren. He doesn't want to discourage them. So what expression will he use? It was a sweeping, broad expression. He said here, "Grace be with all them." Who? All of them, weak in the faith, weak in knowledge, weak in self-denial, weak in conduct. All of them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. I know that all of these that he wrote to, including you and I, we have not attained to some great degree in doctrine or in practice. But if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that's essential, to love Him. To love Him. In John chapter 8 and verse 42, our Lord said this. Said, "If God were your Father, ye would love Me." If God were your Father, if He were your Father, you'd love Me. If God were your Father, ye would love Me. Now he saw his misguided enemies satisfied with their spiritual condition on one simple ground, and that was this, that they were Abraham's fleshly children. They're satisfied. He saw them like many people today, claiming to be God's children for no better reason than that they were baptized or made some decision. Multiplied thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands that make up the 4 billion people in the world today. The majority of them claim to be the children of God because they've been baptized, or because they've joined the church, or because they've said their prayers, or because they are not drunkards, or because they have not committed adultery, or because of this and because of that. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, if God were your Father, you'd love Me. These misguided enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ were religious. Superman. They were men that were so pious. They were men that prayed as much as 3 times a day publicly out in the streets. They got out in the busy crowd. Reminds me of that time I was down there in the Yucatan, in the city of Merida. Everywhere I looked was people, people upon people, wall to wall people. You had to walk in the street. Both sidewalks on each side of the street was jam packed full of people any time of the day. And the streets was full of people. And there was nowhere to go. People, people, people. You can't believe it until you see it. You can go to Fairmont any time of the day, and I bet you can count on both hands the people you see on the street. See a lot of cars, don't see any people. No people. You see a lot of people in Fairmont. In all the little towns, you see a lot of people. Friday night, Saturday night. But anyhow, these Pharisees got out in the crowds. And here come the crowds. And they said, well, there's the Pharisee. If anybody is going to go to heaven, these Pharisees are going. Look what they're doing. They're praying. They give 10% of everything they had. Well, 10% of all their money, anyhow. All the money they made, they gave to the temple. 10% of it. very religious. They know the Bible. They know the Bible. Our Lord Jesus Christ looked at that religious crowd. He looked out at him and he said this, "If a man loved me." Now what he said, if God were your father, if God was you Pharisees that claim to be so religious you won't miss a church service, you will not miss one. You give of everything you can get a hold of and you tell people about it. He said, if God was your father, you'd love me. They didn't love him. They're religious, but they didn't love him. Religious, they wore the garments. They had the religious garments on. They didn't cuss, smoke, drink, chew, spit. They didn't do all that. Religious! Our Lord looked at that religious crowd and he said, if God was your father, you'd love me. I'm only trying this morning to impress upon my heart and your heart what he's saying in verse 23 of John 14, if a man love me. A lot of our religion just won't cut it. It won't cut it. There's got to be a response from the cross to our hearts and from our hearts to the cross. A response. Alright. No man has the right to call God his Father who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. No love to Christ, then no sonship to God. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, our Lord asked a question there to Peter. And the question was three words. And this is the question. He didn't say to Peter, do you believe? We hear the song on the television, and a lot of churches sing it, a little hymn or a little chorus of some sort that says, all things are possible if you only believe. There's a whole lot of truth to that, but many times it's sang in the wrong perspective. All things are possible. Peter, do you believe? He didn't say that. He didn't say, Peter, do you believe? He didn't say, Peter, are you converted? He didn't say, Peter, are you ready to confess me? He didn't say, Peter, will you obey me? But he said, Peter, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Do you love me? We say, well, what church do you belong to? You say, well, I belong to so-and-so church. Are you baptized? Yeah, I was baptized. Well, you sat at the Lord's table Sunday morning? Yeah, I sat there at the Lord's table. You give your ten? Yeah, I've done that. You don't cuss him? No, I quit cussing. We deem a man, we say, well, he's right. He'd make an awful good church member. He'd be a good church member. Had a man like that who said his prayers three or four times every day and read a chapter in the Bible every day, gave of his money, was here religiously, we'd say, boy, he's a good church member. Our Lord didn't say anything like that. I'm not saying those things are wrong. Kept in the right perspective, they're good. But that's not what... They put first things first. I'm afraid that so many of us have put these things which are secondary and made them first. The first thing is, lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? Well, plain and easy, wasn't it? Can you understand that question? I'm not, as dumb as I am, I can understand that. I'm not very intelligent. And I say that, I'm not bragging about my being dumb either. But I'm just stating a plain truth. And you know it, I couldn't have been here for 27 years, preaching to the same people for 27 years, and fooling you. Couldn't have. If I don't get some help from somebody, if I don't get some help from God and somebody else, I can't make it. I can't rely upon my own keen, sharp insight. Can't do it. I got to have some help now and then. I even can understand that question. Lovest thou me? I can understand. I don't have to say, well, one time a fella jumped on me down the road here at the gas station. Someone had put a leaflet in his car that pertained to religion. And he thought, because I was there, he thought it was me. And he came to me and he said, I'll tell you right now. He said, if I want to know anything about religion, you be the last fellow that I talk to. And he said, don't you put any more of them pamphlets in my car. Well, I said, beg your pardon. I said, I didn't put that leaflet in your car. Oh, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. Didn't do it. So I began to talk to him a little bit about his state and his standing before God. And you know what he told me? He said, I haven't got time to talk to you now. He said, I've got to go talk to the preacher first and find out some things, and then I'll come back and talk to you. I said, I don't want to talk to your preacher. I want to talk to you. Well, I got to talk to the preacher first. Well, listen, I understand this question. This is the point I'm trying to make. I understand what this question's asking. I don't have to ask the preacher what that means. I know what it means. Lovest thou me? Do I really love him or no? It's either yes or no. I know what he's saying. It's plain. It's easy to be understood. This is an important part of my discourse here this morning. Said all that by way of introduction to the pointed statements here that I'm about to make, which will be of some help to all of us, I'm sure. Number one, this is what is vitally important and of vital interest to all of us. How do I know I love Him? Preacher, would you help me? Peter didn't. He wasn't sure of it. Preacher, would you help me? I'm going to help you if I can. He said, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And our Lord turned to him again and said, lovest thou me? You know I love you. He said, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Lord, you know my heart. You know I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. But anyhow, how do I know I love him? Well, let's look at it this way. How do we know that we love any person here upon this earth? In what way and in what manner does love show itself between people here upon this earth? What way does love show itself between husband and wife? You might find out here this morning whether your husband loves you or not, or whether your wife loves you or not. How do we know? How does love show itself? In what way, in what manner, between parent and child, between brother and sister, between brother and brother, between sister and sister, here in this life upon this earth? Now, if we'll answer these questions by common sense and observation, then I'll ask no more. But let these questions be answered honestly, diligently, before God. How does love or affection show itself among ourselves? Number one, if I love a person, he or she, if I love a person, if we love a person, we like to think about that person that we love. Is that not right? We do not need to be reminded of him. I need not for you to come and tell me about Pat McGinnis and say, now, preacher, you need to love Pat a little more, because I want to point out to you some of the virtues of this young man. I do not need to be reminded of the virtues and the character of this fellow. See, if we love a person, we like to think about him, and we do not need to be reminded of him. We don't forget his name. We don't forget his appearance. We don't forget his character. We don't forget his opinions. We don't forget his taste, or we don't forget his position. He comes up before our mind's eye many times every day. If I love a person, I love to think about him. Huh? Am I wrong in this? Am I approaching this thing wrong? I don't think so. Amen. I don't think so.
If I love a person, I love to think about him. Well, what I'm saying is, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if a man love me, you love to think about him.
Now, it's down there, brethren. Well, we've got to be honest. Answer the questions after you've considered them carefully. Answer it. What will your answer be? If you love a person, if you love him, you like to think about him. Do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really think about him? Or just, well, I better get ready and go to church Sunday morning. Why are you going to church Sunday morning? Well, I think it's the thing to do. I think everybody ought to go to church. Makes you feel so much better. You feel a lot better if you go. And, of course, I'm not a heathen after all. I'm no heathen. I'm not a heathen. I do believe in God. But do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, if you love a person, you like to think about him. Have you thought much about him Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Have you thought much about him, or have you thought more about you, your wife, your children, and your friends, and your job, and your prestige, and your influence, and your ambition, and your money? You see what I'm driving at? Yeah. Well, listen, I'm saying, if a man love me, lovest thou me, Peter? I'm saying, brethren, that a man may be overcome by fear and temptation and yet be saved. But a man cannot be saved if he doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't be. Well, listen, though the individual that I love, he may be far away. He may be in California. He may be in Alaska. He may be far off. But he's often present in my thoughts. I love him. He's a million miles away, seems like, but he's in my thoughts. The Bible says that Christ Jesus dwells in the believer's heart by faith. And the true Christian now who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not need to be reminded that he has a crucified and risen Lord. He does not need to be reminded every day about the cause of Christ, the claims of Christ, and the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't need to be reminded because he loves him. He loves him. You see, he loves him. There's a whole lot of people, I'm afraid there's a whole lot of people at any given time in this religious world in which we live, if I'm right about what I'm talking about here this morning, and I stake my life on it, then I'm right. These things being so, there's a whole lot of people that's trusting in some form of religion as their means of acceptance with God, and they're going to miss him because they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I know they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ is by their own admission, by their own testimony, is because they need to be reminded. They need to be told. They need to be told over and over and over again. Every day someone needs to go and tell them, you've got a risen Lord. Your Lord died for you. He has suffered for you. He's bled for you. He's been made the filth and the offscouring of this world for you. Paid all your due. Clothed you with His righteousness. He's on God's right hand. Won't you live for His honor and for His glory? Got to be told that all the time. If they wasn't told that all the time, wouldn't think about Him at all. And most of the time, people who are trusting in some form of religion, because they're pretty good. Preacher, you might not think I'm saved, but don't. Out there where I work, all those people respect me. It's like not too long ago a fella told me, he said, well, do you know so-and-so? And I said, yeah, I know him. He said, boy, he's a fine fella, isn't he? And I didn't say anything, but I'd know, say, if you only know him. You don't know him. Well, he said, "This, it's all right. If that fellow thinks I'm a fine fellow, that'll not weigh. That'll not cut the mustard with God." See? No, sir. All right, listen to me. The worldly man, that's the man without Christ, he cannot think much about Christ unless Christ is pressed unto his notice. Why? Because he has no affection for him. He has no love for him. If a man, number two, if a man love a person, or if I love a person, or if you love a person, we like to hear about the person that we love. We find a pleasure in listening to those who speak of him. I love my wife, and I love my boys, and I love to hear people say good things about him. I just sit around and listen to you talk about my boys, and I don't think you can find too much, I don't believe, to brag on them about. But if you could find just a little bit, if you could find just a little bit to brag about once in a while about my boys, oh, it'd make my heart leap. I'd say I could listen to you talk all day. You wouldn't understand that, would you? I'll tell you why you wouldn't understand it, because I love them. In spite of who they are, what they are, what they've done, they're mine. They're bone of my bone, blood of my blood, and flesh of my flesh. We like to hear about him. Huh? We find pleasure in listening to those who speak of him. You mentioned somebody I love. You got my attention. You got my attention. I won't go to sleep on you. I won't lay down on the bench while you're talking. No. You talk to me about my wife, about my children, about my mother, and about my dad, and about my brethren. I'll not lay down. I'll not say, I'll not just keep looking out the window and turn the television on, turn it up a little bit. I won't do that. Tell you why, because I love to hear you talk about those I love, and you'll get my attention. Now, there's not many ways you'll get my attention. But that's one way you'll get my attention, is to talk about somebody that I love. You get my attention real quick, real quick. I'll not be looking this way and that way and say, well, wonder, when's he going to shut up? When's he going to leave? Oh, do you want a cup of coffee? Anything to get him off of the subject. No, brethren, if a person, a man loves a person, he likes to hear about him. We are at attention when others describe his ways, his doings, his sayings, his plans, his thoughts, his feelings. You got our attention. Some, you see, may hear of him mentioned with indifference, but our hearts rejoice when we hear of him. Ah, Christians, true Christians, like those sermons best, which are full of Christ. A lady told me one time, she said, I've been coming to this church for 2 years. She said, I've heard you preach about every, this greatest compliment was ever paid me. She didn't mean it that way, but it was. She said, I've been listening to you for 2 years. And she said, if you've got the time, said, I can show you in the Bible here, said, every time you preached, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, said, I marked it down in the Bible. I underscored it and put TX there. That's his text. And I put the date. And she said, every time you ever preached, you preached about Christ. That's what she told me. I said, bless God, put that on my tombstone when I die. That there's 2 years in my life that I didn't preach any time except I preached Christ and Him crucified. Said you didn't have anything else to say. Said one fella told me, said, well, I said, called me up on the phone, said, listen. He said, we got to hear something else. We got to hear. Said, we're tired of it. Want to hear something else? I said, I haven't got anything else to say. We got to hear something else. Oh, once you hear what you got to say one time, then we've heard it over and over and over and over and over. Well, that's right. That's right. Christians like those sermons best which are full of Christ. If I love a person, I like to read about him. What pleasure a letter is from a husband who's been absent for about 3 months. What pleasure that gives to his lonely wife. Oh, no telling, are they? You see, others, someone else might come along. Lady, she's got this dear wife and mother. She's got this letter today in the mail, and she's read it 2 or 3 times. And she hadn't seen her husband in 3 months. He's off. He's in the army. He's off in the army. And she hadn't seen him. The kids gathered around and said, "Get him mail from Dad today." "Yeah, I got that letter." And there she's read it about 3 times. She's reading. The kids is looking at what he said here. And he was there. And oh, we can see his affections in that letter to us. And they're excited about it. They're excited. And she's excited. And tears come down her eyes. Oh, said, "This is my love here. This is my love. He's wrote a letter to me. Finally heard from him." Oh, but in comes a neighbor. She said, "I got a letter from my husband." "Oh, you did. You did." She's not interested. She's not interested. Huh? She's not interested in that letter. Others may see a little worth or a little value in that letter. They wouldn't even take time to read it if you offered it to them. If you did, they'd just skip over it. Maybe turn to the last page. They wouldn't be interested. But one, listen to me, but one who loves the writer carries it with them wherever they go, and they read it over and over and over. See what I'm talking about? If we love a person, we like to read about him. And if we love a person, number four, we like to please him. We like to please him. We're glad to act upon his advice. If he gives us some advice, we love him. We'll say, that's what we'll do. As a matter of fact, we'll do a lot of things which he approves of. Whatever he approves of, by way of advice and counseling, we'll say, that's what we'll do. We'll not ask him if we ought to go here or there and someplace else, and he says, "Well, no, I don't think you ought to go." Then we turn around and go. No, not if we love a person. If we love him, we want to please that person. We want to please him. We're going to act upon his advice, and we're going to do the things which he approves, and we're not going to do the things which he disapproves of. We'll even sometimes deny ourselves to meet his wishes and desires if we love him. We'll abstain from things which he dislikes and do the things which gives him pleasure if we love a person. I'm talking about love. I'm not talking about some physical attraction. Here's some good-looking girl out there with a half-dressed, and here comes another boy, and he's got his muscle shirt on and all that, and they're locked arm to arm, and someone says, "Boy, aren't they in love?" They don't know it. They're 10 million miles away from what I'm talking about. That's you might call it love, but that what that is lust. That's what that lust. Paul said, "I wouldn't have known what it meant to covet another man's wife unless the law said, 'Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lust.'" That's what that is. That's lust. That ain't love. Very few of us know anything about love, if any of us know anything about it. Love is desiring to please the object of your affections. Shower upon him gifts of gratitude. You want to please him. You want to please him. Not always nagging at him. You don't always nag at someone you love, do you? Always finding fault with someone. When you come in at night, husband, when you come in at night, do you find fault with the dinner? Do you find fault with the house? Do you find fault with this and that and so forth and nag and nag? If you do, you don't love her. You don't love her. Forget it! You've got together on some false premise. It's not true love. You said you loved her, but you didn't. You just loved to get in bed with her. That's all. That's pretty plain, brethren. I know it's pretty plain. Maybe I ought not to say it, but that's the way I feel. That's the way I feel. I'm talking about something far removed from what we talk about in this modern day of love. Far removed from that. If you love someone, like to please them. You love them. I want to please you. I'll carry your clothes for you. That's too heavy. Let me get that for you. Don't you do that. I'll get that tonight when I come. Now, don't you do that. It's too heavy. You ought to be carrying stuff like that. That's too hard work scrubbing that floor. Let me help you. I'll help you do that. Want to please them. You see what I'm talking about? Want to please them. Want to please my wife. Want to please my children. Want to please my brethren. Because I love them. Because I want to tell them. You don't tell them the truth. Another good sign of a preacher loving his brethren is this. He'll tell them the truth. That's a good sign. That's a pretty good sign. He'll tell them the truth. Just tell them the truth. Oh, listen now. If a man love a person, he likes his friends even. He likes his friends. He loves his friends for their sake. All right, if we love a person, we're jealous of his name and his honor. We don't like to hear someone speak against him who's the object of our affection. We don't like to hear that, and when we do hear, listen, if someone speaks about against your son or daughter or your wife in your presence and you love them, what are you going to do? Put your head between your legs? No, sir, you're going to rear up on your hind feet and you're going to say, hey, I'm going to speak up on their behalf. Now, what you said may be true, but now listen, there's another side. Now, I want you to see something else about him or her. See? Now, you won't sit there with your head between your legs. No, sir. You're going to be jealous about his or her name in regard to their honor and integrity goes. Yes, sir. We look upon a man or a woman or anybody else who treats him who we love badly, we look upon him with disfavor. I know of a fella just recently. a fella come over and pulled the car door open and grabbed his wife by the arm, pulled her out of the car. They was right in front of church. Now, I don't know that I approve of this. I don't think this is right. Don't think he behaved right, but there's something about that kind of pulls at my heart. This fella, he came over and opened the car door and pulled the fella's wife out and swung her like that. And the fella whose wife he treated badly ran around the car and said, you can't do that to my wife. She's the object of my affection and you can't do that to her. And he hauled off and hit him and knocked him down. And the fella got up and hit him. And the first thing you know, they was both on the ground. I don't know what the moral of the story is, but if there's any moral to it, it's this. You can't hit my loved one and get by with it. Can't do it. Well, listen, if we love a person, we're jealous for his honor, for his name. Huh? Love to the Lord Jesus Christ now is no secret thing. There ain't no such thing as a secret disciple. You say, well, I love the Lord Jesus, no one knows about it. Well, you don't love him. Because love to God in Christ is no secret thing. It's like heat. Heat is no secret thing. It'll be felt. It's like sound. It'll be heard. Where it exists, where love to God in Christ exists, it'll be seen. It can't be hid. And where it can't be seen, where it can't be felt, where it can't be heard, rest assured there is none. There's no love for Christ. Alright, lastly, if I love a person, well, I like to talk to him. Is that not right? I just love to talk. I want to hear about him and converse with him. And I'll sit and listen as he talks to me. But anyhow, if I love a person, well, I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him. I can talk to him. I can convey my feelings free and easy to that fellow. I can tell him of my thoughts. I can tell him of my sorrows. I can tell him of my bad days and my downsettings and my uprisings. I can tell him of my my thoughts and my sins. I can tell Him of my aspirations and ambitions. I can tell Him free and easy because He's my friend and I love Him. I love Him. In other words, I can find it very easy to talk to my friend. He understands me. And I love Him. He loves me. I can talk to Him. I can tell Him things that I can't tell other people. I can pour out my heart to Him. Well, lastly now, if we love a person, we like to always be with him. That is, thinking now and hearing, that is, having our thoughts saturated with His name, that's good. Hearing about Him every day, that's good. Reading about Him and from Him, that's good. All these things are good. But when we really love that person that we think about and hear about and read about, we want something more. That is, we long to be with Him. Huh? Paul said, my desire is what? To depart and to be with Him, which is far better. Why? Because I love Him. That's what Paul said, because I love Him. Paul's life spoke for its sake. Because I love Him. Well, alright, now don't answer this way, that you believe in the truth of Christianity. Say, well, yeah, I believe in Christianity. I don't believe in Mohammedism and Confucius. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe in the truth of Christianity, and I believe in the orthodoxy of this church. I believe in the doctrines. I believe in them. Listen, true saving Christianity is not just believing a certain set of opinions, a certain set of rules, a certain set of doctrines, and a certain set of notions. It is what? It's knowing, it's trusting, and loving a person, Christ the Lord. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? If a man love me, if he loves me, he won't get tired of hearing about me. Will he? Get tired of hearing about Him? You tired of hearing about Him? Well, what can I say? I said it all. That is all I know. There's a whole lot more can be said, but that's all I know. I know He said that if a man love me, he'll keep my words. That's what it said. If a man love me, he'll keep my words. And says, my Father will love him. And says, we'll come unto him. And we'll live with him. We'll live with him. We'll make our abode with him. We'll live with him. Well, I trust I love him this morning. And I trust that the Father loves me. And I trust that the Father and Son and Holy Ghost hath made up their abode in my heart. Not because of anything that I've done. Because I love Him. Now listen to me, and I'll close. Because I love Him. Because He first loved me. I found out that my love to Him was the result of His first loving me. I found that out. Took me a while, but I found that out. I found out the reason I have any aspirations, any desires towards hearing of Him and listening to His Word, and to, that His heart might beat with my heart. Any form or semblance of love in my heart towards the Lord Jesus. I found out through the Word of God, I found out that we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. So I don't have anything to brag about, do I? If I love Him this morning, it's not because I'm better than anybody else. It's because He first loved me and I found out about it. Well, all right. Let's stand.